Love Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. Welcome to blogtalkradio.com. Our program within blogtalkradio.com is Soul Class number 474. This series is entitled Meditation Equals Wellsprings for the Human Soul, series installment number 3. Blessed is our Creator, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience. With Creator's help, our broadcast is now taking place live at 9:31 a.m. Eastern Standard Time from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Unifying Souls Actually. Program content will focus on meditation, plucking inspirations from a seminal work from a direct descendant from Kings David and Solomon, the Mitler Rebbe, Rabbi Dovber of Lubavitch. The name of this seminal work is called Shari Yukud, The Gate of Unification. The call number to listen in will be 347, and it is 347-838-8669. 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones. And I want to just mention, as we're going to be toning down the music, this wonderful Jewish a cappella song, which is strictly, whatever you hear as music, merely through the agency of the Blessed Human Voice with all the technological assistance that he can gather in. Barry Weber, and let's just turn down the song. Oh, excuse me, Reb Barry. I'm going to turn you right down. Let's get on with the shoe. Okay, first of all, I want to introduce. So, my name is Don Zosia Goodman, and it happens today that I am, in fact, celebrating 53 years ago, I was blessed to be born into this world by my mother, Zun Tolzon, with my father's participation, of course, several months earlier. And as I now enter my 53rd year of living upon this blessed planet, I hope that I can be blessed for the coming year to share further inspirations from these type of programs, say on Soul Class and through Facebook, and I sometimes make a video here and there, sprinkling it into the atmosphere of YouTube.com. And, of course, I have a Facebook page, Don Zosia Goodman, D-O-N-Z-U-S-Y-A-G-O-O-D-M-A-N. Now, for those of you who are listening, well, here in the archive version, wishing me a happy birthday, thank you very much. But to me, a happy birthday wish from you, blessed souls, would be for you to increase in your learning of Torah, both the written and oral Torah traditions. Number two, to try to increase charity, your tzedakah today, or an act of righteousness, to think one more second, one more minute about your loved ones, how much you love them and you appreciate them for the blessings from the Most High to have this type of relationship, and even have thoughts about those who you have not met, yet one day you hope to meet and express your brotherly or sisterly or human love with them because you have a divine image which will help you get off in scrimmage. Your Tzelem Elohim is no dream. So with that being said, blessed souls, we started last week to pluck from the Shari Yuchud, the Gate of Unification, Shari Yuchud by the Mitler Rebbe. And continuing on plucking inspirations from that book, blessed souls, if we are willing to consider that a human experiencing a meditative session, a session of meditation, is uniquely bound up with some specified or unspecified movement, which can transpire within the human brain, the human heart, and the human thought process, which are directly configured to an order as delineated in the oral Torah tradition of five levels of soul, although soul in and of itself is a davar pashut, a bitei she'elokut, it's a uncompounded matter of godliness. However, to activate our living experience down here, there is a delineation of qualities within the soul, not that this gives life to the soul, but the soul gives life to the following five levels of soul. The first one is called nefesh, which is the source of physical body vitality, including automatic and voluntary biological functioning. The energy that we can physically continue to exist, that our heart can continue to pump, our brain can continue to process matters of intellect and emotion and soul and spirituality. And for instance, we can continue to breathe in and out. Then there's the soul level of ruach, or the quality within the soul called ruach, which is, can be translated as spirit, the source of a human being's emotional attributes. Then there's a soul level called neshama, which literally translates out to be neshama, the source of human intellect as it relates to internalizing cognitive awareness and accessing human subconscious, or as it is described within the Torah genre of Pnimius HaTorah, the inner dimensions of Torah, superconsciousness. Then there's the soul level, or quality of soul, called Chai, or Chaya, I should say, Chaya, which is the source of human will towards accessing matters beyond basic human comprehension and desiring to implement it within the human experiencing active, increased, or renewed intellect, emotions, speech, and action. And last but not least, the soul level of Yechida. Now this level called Yechida, blessed souls, is a level of soul realm, a realm of soul, which is intrinsically solely within the Israelite human existence before the Israelite soul descends into the Israelite body, and empowers any Hebrew, Israelite, Jewish man or woman to be prepared to forfeit his or her life rather than to bow down to any physical form of idols. And from within the positive perspective, the Yechida, this unique dimension of the soul, will also empower any Hebrew, Israelite, Jewish person to seek to fulfill the 613 commandments, if not directly within the context of action, at the very least to learn about it and to continue thinking about it and to be sure to speak about it when learning about Yechida, the Yechida level of the Neshama, the unique, pristine level which towers over the other four levels we just mentioned. And of course, to share this level of soul with other people. Now, I am acutely aware when many B'nai Noach, children of Noah, Kol Bei Olam, all inhabitants of the world, hear that only Israelites possess the soul level of Yechida. I've experienced hearing it from others, their feelings become bruised, accusations are leveled at us for promoting a paradigm of superiority in relation to the nations of the world, all the children of man, as being we are designated as a chosen people. However, from our perspective as Israelites, it is not a matter of or issue of superiority, for it is rather a blessing, which is an empowerment, which actually translates ultimately to a responsibility on our part to be chosen to transmit eternal Torah teachings, as these eternal Torah teachings are particularized during my efforts, humble efforts during this series and any other series of concerning Torah discussions that I may engage in, whether on Blog Talk Radio or Facebook or YouTube or any other place where I happen to be blessed to trod upon the creation. And this particular series is about sharing teachings about Torah-based meditation from a more cognitive viewpoint, not an emotional standpoint or spiritual euphoric experience. But still, we have not defined the Torah-based definition within the genre of Panimius HaTorah, within the inner dimensions of Torah. We will get to it and define it successfully, hopefully, in a terse technical fashion. However, in a moment of 2, 3, or 4, or 5, which I plan to do give that terse technical definition, I wish to point out for any inhabitant of the world, Ben Noah, Bas Noah, some people feel comfortable with the word Gentile or Get Toshav, whose feelings were bruised, are bruised, or will be bruised after learning about the Yechidah is a soul level solely within the realm of Israelites, you still can access this Yechidah, blessed souls, by learning the teachings within the Torah genre of Panimius HaTorah, specifically Chassidus, which is a portion or genre of Torah, as I just mentioned before, being shared with blessed souls like yourself concerning these matters. And if these teachings appeal to you about the Torah cognitive presentation of what meditation is, I encourage you to continue learning more, listening more with our humble efforts. And you can go to other places as well. There certainly is a smorgasbord of opportunities to learn from the inner dimensions of Torah, which is the Yechidah of the Torah, and see how you feel, see how you cognitively process this, and see where you want to go, whether it is to strengthen your efforts to keep the 7 universal commandments, or to go do more than the 7 universal commandments. And then, if conversion is of your inkling, then so be it. May Hashem bless you. But we're not here to try to draft anyone into the realm of becoming a Jew. We're just trying to share these teachings to show human beings that these are universally viable, accessible, implementable teachings about developing cognitive reasoning within the human life experience. And then, again, it's up to you to decide what level of commitment, or perhaps some of you will become uncommitted to this type of teaching. It's up to you. Okay, now we have reached the point where we can cross the bridge of a moment or 2, 3, 4, or 5. Let's define what is meditation tersely. Meditation in terse fashion can be defined as follows. A strong cognitive stare into the depth of any concept, whether it be Torah or secular, to seek out the truth of that concept until a person is able to understand that concept clearly with all the particularities of that concept, as that concept contains within itself particularities within particularities. So what are we talking about, blessed souls? Let's say a person wanted to, say, meditate upon the allegory I thought of to help illustrate this point for those of you who are old enough. Say a Lincoln Continental from the early 1970s. So for some people, they would focus on the prestige that was associated with the Lincoln Continental. However, they might only be able to meditate or think about cognitively about the prestige of driving Lincoln Continental based on a model from the 21st century. However, the model of the 21st century of a Lincoln Continental basically bears very little resemblance or semblance to the Lincoln Continental of the early 1970s. So you can Google up the Lincoln Continental and see its unique shape as it appeared in the 1970s. And you can contrast it between how it looks differently than a Lincoln Continental of the 21st century. Then you can open the hood and see what are the differences in the engine, with the spark plug placed in the same place as in a Lincoln Continental from the 1970s, as a Lincoln Continental is those designed in the 21st century. The length and width and depth of a 20th century Lincoln Continental, late 20th century Lincoln Continental, in comparison to a early 21st century model of the Lincoln Continental. And then you can see the difference in the size and the back compartment space. Certainly there'd be, I'm sure, many differences within the stereo system, and there might even be a cell phone system within a 21st century Lincoln Continental, which didn't exist in the early 1970s with Lincoln Continental. Or there could be a there's a button, I think it's like star communication, where you can push a button and you can communicate with a help center with a 21st century Lincoln Continental, which you could not do with a early 1970s version of the Lincoln Continental, and so on and so on, until you can actually disassemble it through drawings or look at an owner's manual of a 1970s Lincoln Continental, and see, you get to the point where you might even lose the forest of the trees from all the particularities of a Lincoln Continental, but then see, at least at the very least, from looking at all these particularities, you can better understand why such a car gained such prestige in the 1970s, and I gather it still maintains its prestige in the 21st century. And then you would go into studying in depth the details of a 21st century Lincoln Continental. And then if you would take it one step further, you can contact, I think Lincoln Continental is still made by Ford, or is it another company? I'm not sure. I know companies have been sought and traded over the last 40 years. Whoever is the producer of the Lincoln Continental of the 21st century, you can then get into a discussion of why there was a change in the look of a Lincoln Continental from the 1970s to the 21st century. And if you're very fortunate, you can speak to the engineers who were involved in the design of it in the 1970s, or the people who ran the car plant. So by the end of your cognitive research project, you have a pretty good understanding why such a car was branded as a car of prestige for those who wanted to buy it. So that's just an allegory, Blissfields, but when we get to more tangible Torah concepts and we apply the process of meditation, which is, again, that strong and cognitive stare into the depth of the concept, this definition of meditation just does not connect solely to the Torah genre of Panimius HaTorah, the inner dimensions of Torah, which also encompasses Chassidus, Kabbalah, Midrash, Mishnah, and Talmud, but which is considered the inner dimensions of Torah, but also the more revealed levels of Torah, which also can be considered to be the Talmud. Now, when one is engaging in the Torah genre concept of meditation, the Mittler Rebbe wants to know, this is an expression of Panimius Abina, inner understanding. Well, the language which is used to coin a term meditation, also known as his bonanus or his bonanut, this term is coined within the Talmudic language as an expression of iyun, which has its own subtle, terse definition. And this is discussed in the Talmudic tractate of Sukkah, which is the oral Torah tradition of how to observe the festival of Sukkos, including the type of materials used to make that the tabernacles and to shake the four species and the sacrifices which are offered at the time of the festival of our rejoicing. And the term that was used for analytical cognitive study of Torah is called iyun, which can be boiled down to one word as analysis. And to learn more about that, you can go to the Talmudic tractate of Sukkah, folio/page/daf 28, Kof Ches, side A, or Amud Aleph. So, blessed souls, now that I have shared with you this terse definition, hopefully your interest has been perked up to reevaluate how, in fact, do you study Scripture? How do you access oral Torah traditions? How do you ask questions of teachers when learning with them? Are your questions based on already you have formulated a good data or database from your learnings, your studious pursuits, or because you have not learned all the details of a particular concept, you're asking the teacher to fill in the details of the particularities, and instead of asking them a better, well-thought-out question, you're basically asking them to fill in the database. Now, some teachers will be glad to supply you with that information, and some, judging on the fact that you have a well-developed intellect, might encourage you to look up, to go to such a page in such a book, or if there's a particular expert in the area you live, to ask them about the question. Or they might just say to you, your question is not a question because it's already answered in such and such a book and such a resource. Now, with that being said, I hope your interest has been perked up about this type of pursuit, Torah genre, category of how to learn Torah. Jewish meditation or Hebrew meditation or Israelite meditation is a cognitive experience, although there are, within the genre of Torah meditation practices, those who advocate an oscillating cognitive consciousness, meaning you, so to speak, picture within your mind the concept you're learning as it bounces back between your right brain processing and your left brain processing, and lo and behold, a more profound experience or perception or consciousness of the concept arrives. But within the context of this approach of cognitive meditation, his bonus inner understanding or analysis, we are promoting the line that in order to seek the truth of Creator, you have to seek out the truth as your mind can handle and process and cognitively digest and internalize, hopefully, this truth. Meaning, the truth is accessible with every page of Scripture you turn to, blessed souls, but how much are you yourself taking in? Are you getting all the truth? Well, if we're humble enough to realize none of us take in all of the truth at any one moment, we're, so to speak, extracting from the truth and trying to internalize it into our consciousness that hopefully we want to hang on to that truth and seek the next level of truth, which is found with the next verse, the next word, the next page, the next chapter, the next book. So the question then becomes, blessed souls, how do you actually begin your blessed journey of meditating upon the revealed and the inner dimensions, instructions of Torah? This cognitive-emotional-spiritual path was designed by the Creator and revealed to the prophets and wise men of all generations, or wise women, to broaden one's awareness, which may have been previously confined to non-Torah perspectives as well about meditation, his bonenos. And now one is afforded, if one is interested, by listening to this series, again I'm turning to other sources, to now engage in a personal endeavor to make oneself into a fitting receptacle to connect to the essence of the body of this Torah concept, which, if you remember in the last presentation, blessed souls, his bonus meditation should trigger within a human being the following three factors. Number one, one's understanding of the Torah concept or whatever Torah concept she will eventually learn in the future will increase. Number two, this is something that we should be able to speak about to ourselves in our learning process or with others and share with others. And then hopefully within the process of gaining greater understanding and speaking out this understanding with other people, we'll be accessing the profundity, the godliness, which is embedded in these Torah concepts, which we're, so to speak, opening up to ourselves by cognitively learning about them. And as well, as we learn more about the how-to and what is his boldness, because this terse definition is not the only definition of his boldness, as I've just mentioned, as well, to contrast the meditative experience, which is called his bonenos, panemius bina, inner understanding, and eon analysis, we need to differentiate it from another approach to Torah study, another genre, which is known as Girsa, which with Creator's blessing and help, we will hopefully explore during our next program. With that being said, blessed, we're going to close off with the segue ending beautiful, joyous music of Reb Yosef Kadurner in his Tehillim Psalms 121. And I'll read the words in English to you so you'll understand what he's singing as he's chanting out this song merely with his voice. Actually, no, we're not going to do Reb Kadurner. We're going to do someone else. It is a song called Our God is Marching On. I apologize for misleading the saying. We're going to learn or hear the song of Reb Yosef Kadurner. Here's a chant by Ari Lesser, whose song I think is very appropriate for the turbulent times we're living in. And I would humbly suggest to you, blessed souls, that unfortunately with the tragedy that took place with the death of young Freddie Gray and the subsequent rioting that took place, certainly we need no more testimony than what just transpired over the last week in Baltimore, that this country, as well as the entirety of this creation, needs a great healing for the great human family experience, which is expanding with every day. But part of that expansion is to realize Creator is not a static supreme being. He is the source of all movement and kinetic energy. And He is the source of breaking the static consciousness about the Creator in His blessed glory. And that I personally believe, though I do not have the solution to these racial issues, these bloody, bitter racial issues, which we should have left in the vaults of human tragedy a long time ago and locked it up, that here in America, as well as every other country in the world, all the peoples of the world need to become more aware of the fact they have a divine image, which will help us get up in scrimmage. Our Tzelem Elohim is no dream. And we're going to conclude in a way, with the help of the Most High, of Ahav Achad, one love, Gor El Achad, one destiny, Kulanu for all of us, Badar Chinom, in a pleasant way, Dar Chasholm, in a peaceful way, Laham Shich, Bezer Shem Yisbrek, to be continued with the help of the Most High. Our guard is marching on, our, meaning all of our common bond, the glue which brings all of us human beings together, our God is marching on, but Ari Lesser. Take care, everyone.
Journey here has not been fun. Our faces were burned by the sweltering sun. We crossed trying hills and desolate plains, sleeping in mud, being drenched by the rain. During this march, our bodies were tested. But though our feet may be tired, our souls are rested. They said we wouldn't get here, but we held our ground and didn't let anybody turn us around. It took four dark nights and five long days, but our efforts earned us presidential praise. Lyndon B. Johnson has pledged the might of the federal government to cast off this blight. The way we have come with tears has been watered, treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out of the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. Today I tell this city, I say to this state, to all of America, we won't be stopped by hate. You can burn our churches, bomb our homes, physically hurt us, but now that we are on the move, you cannot divert us. Until our dreams are realized, we will march on. March on segregated housing until every ghetto's gone. March on poverty until no starved man walks the streets. Until no parent must skip a meal so that their child may eat. Let us march on ballot boxes until racism falls. Let us march on like Joshua, bring down Jericho's wall. People, listen. The battle's in our hands, so we will march on until they meet our demand. And I know today somebody is asking, when? How long will prejudice blind the vision of men? When will wounded justice, now found only in our dreams, be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme? How long? not long. And this I know, no lie can live forever. You shall reap what you sow. Not long is how long justice will be postponed. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. The arc of the universe is long, but we all know it bends towards justice. How long? Not long, my friend. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vantage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God.